Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Today, we'll talk about how park hours changes can affect you. That's coming up on this, episode 76 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 76. Today, we are going to talk about how all of the park hours changes at Disney World can affect your trip plans, because it can work out for the better, and sometimes it is a pain in the rear. So I just want to talk about all the different ways that it can affect you and the best way to handle that. And as always, a reminder to connect outside the podcast, including the Facebook page where I actually post most of my park hours changes. And that's facebook.com/WDW Prep School. And on Pinterest, where there are about a dozen pins posted every day. And those are pins to my own stuff, but also pins to lots of other websites. And I try to mix it up there. And so if you are a Pinterest user, be sure to follow at pinterest.com/WDW Prep School. You can often tell where the topics for these podcasts come from based on things that you've seen me saying on social media if you happen to follow me there, because park hours changes are fresh on my mind. On Friday, February 6th, Disney published so many park hours changes. It's one of the biggest batches of changes I've ever seen. And I spent most of Saturday going through those to see what had changed from the previous months. And it ended up that the result was a lot of different changes. So I want to go through some of those different scenarios that could pop up for your trip and give you some advice on the way to handle it. So first of all, before we do that, the park hours are, a lot of people want to know where the park hours come from. And there's two different ways that I suggest getting your park hours. First of all, the park hours are published to the travel agent site about 6.5 months before a month begins. So for instance, in February, the park hours were published for September. In March, they will be published for October, etc. So that's where I get them, is from the travel agent site. The main Disney World site does not have the hours until a little bit later. I don't know the time frame, but I want to say a month or two later is when they update. It could be even more. I'm not sure. But I don't rely on the Disney World site for park hours because they are so delayed in getting them up. But people always ask me where I get them, and it's from the travel agent site. However, I do recommend that you use the My Disney Experience app during your trip for park hours, because a lot of updates are made on very short notice, and they're not something that I'm aware of. They're not something that's published to the travel agent site. It's just something that you'll only see in My Disney Experience. So my advice is, before your trip, to get your park hours from a source like me, who gets them from the travel agent site. And then during your trip, I recommend getting them in the My Disney Experience app, because they often make changes that you will only know about from there. The way that the park hours changes happen, or park hours happen, is not only are they published 6.5 months beforehand on the travel agent site, but they publish lots of updates to previously published hours at the same time. So for instance, on February 6th, the Disney published updates that affected not only September, which was the new batch, but also there were changes to several other months between now and September, including February. So they published park hours changes for the same month, and also for March and April and June. And I mean, there's several months. In fact, the February park hours were revised 5 times between the first time they were published and now. So they are constantly being revised. And just because you get them 6.5 months ahead of time doesn't mean you should stop keeping an eye on them, because a lot of things can change in between. So here's an example of some things that can change on park hours and what that could mean for you. First of all, the parks can open earlier than originally planned. And this is a new thing that Disney has started doing. It's relatively new. And the last few months, they have been updating hours to be earlier instead of just later. And the reason that this is significant is for two reasons. One is good, one is bad. The first thing is that it can interfere with early breakfast reservations. So if you are planning to eat at Cinderella's Royal Table at 8 a.m. and with a 9 a.m. park opening, and then Disney changes the park hours, so now the park is open at 8, then all of a sudden now you are eating during the first hour that the park is open, which is not ideal, and it was probably not your plan when you made your reservation. The same thing often happens at Hollywood Studios and sometimes at Animal Kingdom. Those three parks are susceptible to changing times. It does not happen at Epcot, in my experience. Epcot hours are pretty set and don't often get changed. So if you want to eat in a park that and not have your reservation interfere with touring time, then Epcot might be a good one to choose. So if you find yourself in this situation where you have an early breakfast reservation in the parks and now the park is opening at 8, there are a couple things that you can do. One, you can keep it and you can try to check in just before park opening to go through the character reservation line. So if the park opens at 8, you could try to slip in at 7:45. This will get you in the park and allow you to take a picture of the castle before the park opens. Or if you're at Hollywood Studios, you could sneak into the Jedi training line this way and then go check into your breakfast reservation, something like that. You could keep your reservation, but just know that it will interfere with touring time. The other option would be to make a later reservation, such as around 10:30 or so. And my recommendation actually for people who are planning, you know, over 6 months in advance is to consider making two reservations. If you want an 8 a.m., go ahead and make it, but then also try to make one at 10:30. That way you have both and can cancel the one that you don't need later on after you know more about the park hours. So that's the early reservation. And that's the one that tends to give people the most angst when these park hour changes happen. And they're becoming so common that I would just sort of count on it, especially if you're going during a time that is going to be a bit busier. The second way that earlier opens can affect you is the positive way, and that is that it's a great time to tour. So, you know, if a park opens at 9 a.m., which has always been the standard time, that even 9 a.m. is a good time to tour because most people don't want to get up early and get to the parks. So an 8 a.m. opening is even better. And so I would just, you know, recommend if you are able to get up that early and get to the parks, to totally take advantage of that time. You will likely have parks to yourself for a while. And so I would definitely take advantage of that. Another way that park hours can change is that the closing time can be later. And this is fairly common, especially at Magic Kingdom, where they often extend the hours late and sometimes into the wee hours of the morning. The later the time is, the later the time that it's closing, the better that time is to tour. That's one of the positive side effects of the later closings. So this is especially true at Magic Kingdom. So if Magic Kingdom goes from closing at 10 p.m. to closing at midnight, then the longer you're willing to stay out till midnight, the better that time is. So I kind of view, you know, the extremes as good touring time. So 8 a.m. is a good touring time and you know, midnight's a good touring time because most people are not staying out that late. Another side effect of these later closings is that more FastPass Plus reservations open up. And I guess this would be a side effect of the earlier times as well. I just don't recommend it as much for those earlier times. But more FastPass Plus reservations open up. So, you know, when the FastPass Plus reservations are originally allocated, it's based on the existing park hours. So if it says Magic Kingdom's going to be open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., then the FastPass Plus reservations fall during that time. However, if the hours change and the park opens and is staying up till midnight, then all of a sudden you're going to have a new batch release because there are more park hours available and those attractions will be open more. So it's important to stay on top of the park hours changes, because as soon as those park hours get extended, usually a couple of days later, sometimes, 3 to 5 days later, I don't know the exact algorithm there, but that's my observation. There will be FastPass Plus openings on those days to reflect the extended hours. And the best way to stay on top of that is, first of all, subscribe to the email alerts that I send out. I send out alerts to people based on the month that they're traveling with park hours updates and things that apply to that month. So that's the first way to know that they've occurred. The second thing is to follow the link on the DIB message board. And I've talked about this before, but the DIB is a UK-based Disney message board, and they have charts that show current FastPass Plus availability. And the charts are updated every 30 minutes, and they will just show whatever has openings on certain days. So if all of a sudden your days for your trip happen to show green for an attraction that you are trying to get a FastPass Plus for, then you know to log into My Disney Experience and try to snag that. So that's one of the super positive effects of these later closing times. Just as a side note, the later closing times at Magic Kingdom often mean that people making FastPass Plus reservations or dining reservations, I should say, it's FastPass Plus reservations. If the night you are making FastPass Plus reservations happens to be a late closing at Magic Kingdom, oftentimes your ability to make FastPass Plus reservations will be delayed. So we always tell people midnight Eastern time is when FastPass Plus is open up. But if that night Magic Kingdom is staying open until that time or later, then sometimes your ability to get the reservations will be delayed. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's just sort of a side note that can result from these later closing times at Magic Kingdom. So a third way that park hour changes can happen is that more nighttime shows are offered. And this is happening more and more, I guess, as the crowds have sort of surged in the last several months. So nighttime shows like Main Street Electrical Parade or Fantasmic often are scheduled just one time. And then as crowds increase, sometimes they will be scheduled twice. And actually over Christmas, I saw 3 Fantasmics per night scheduled, which is something I've never seen before. So during busier times, there will be multiple nighttime shows offered. And I've actually started seeing multiple showings of the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which is the afternoon parade at Magic Kingdom. That happens sometimes as well. So, but when it comes to nighttime shows, the later the showing, the less busy that show will be. So if you have 2 Main Street Electrical Parades, attending the last one is always going to be less busy than the first one. And the same is true for Fantasmic. And a lot of people always want to know about the FastPass Plus. And I believe that usually when there are multiple Fantasmics scheduled, the FastPass Plus, if you have one, applies to the first showing. And so in that case, my recommendation would be, if you can attend the later one, I would just attend the later one and skip the FastPass Plus altogether and just do it in standby. So that's another thing that can happen, is that more nighttime shows will be offered. And lastly, the one change that can happen is that extra magic hours can change. And this one is my least favorite change, and it's also the least likely to happen. It's only happened I've noticed it 3 times in the last year, which is not too bad compared to how many changes that there have been. So what happens from my perspective when extra magic hours change is that I change the recommended parks per day, because they are mostly based on which parks are having extra magic hours. So for instance, if Epcot is having an extra magic hour, I will say that I don't recommend going there. I would suggest going somewhere else. If Disney changes it and they say, no, actually it's not going to be Epcot, it's going to be Hollywood Studios, then I will change my recommendations to reflect that, because I don't usually like going to extra magic hour parks. However, if it were me and this change was made after I already had made good dining reservations and good FastPass Plus reservations, I would probably just keep my original plan. Picking the right park per day is far less important than having a good touring plan. And I don't think it's worth giving up good dining reservations if they happen to be located at or near that park, or good FastPass Plus reservation. So, you know, if you're flexible and you don't mind changing, then sure, go ahead and shuffle some things around and that might make sense for you. But I don't want people to panic when there are extra magic hour changes because I don't think it's as important as everything else. So that's just something to keep in mind. And thankfully, it's something that doesn't happen too often. So hopefully that helps. I wish Disney didn't publish park hour changes as often as they do, but it's become a thing. And I think it's because crowds have really increased a lot. And with the invention of the My Magic Plus system, a lot of people are playing ahead and they have a better sense of what the crowds are going to be. So they just respond to that by changing the hours. And they also changed them last minute. So sometimes I think they're caught by surprise. But anyway, that should help you sort of keep tabs on it. I will include links in the show notes to how you sign up for the email alerts on the monthly dashboards and the links to all the different things that I've mentioned within this episode. I do have a quick tip from a listener named Michelle today about maximizing your Disney Dining Plan credits. And then after I play it, I will add to it to help explain it even more.
Hi, Shannon. This is Michelle in Louisiana, and I have a quick tip of the day. My quick tip of the day has to do with the dining plan. If you have deluxe, the regular plan, or the quick service plan, you can use those credits in the parks, but you can also use them at your hotel. And one of the things we did was we resort hopped. We stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, and we dined at Port Orleans French Quarter and had beignets one day. We also ate supper there one day. And we made a trip to Animal Kingdom Lodge and ate at the Mara at their quick service to check out that hotel. And we brought our mugs with us. And something that I have found out is that because you have a quick service meal credit, is an entree, a dessert, and a beverage, is that even if you bring your mug with you and you refill your mug for your meal, you are also eligible to take a bottled beverage with you. So that means, so for my family of five, for our three meals, we could have collected a total of 15 bottles of water that we could use in the parks or in our hotel as we needed. And that would have been almost a whole case of water. So just know that if you resort hop or you eat your breakfast every day at your hotel using a quick service meal, that you can go ahead and take a bottle of water with you when you check out and then refill your mug after, and you'll have something for later. And it's totally paid for already. So that's my tip. Thank you, Shannon, for all you do.
And thank you to Michelle for calling that in. I had not actually considered that scenario, but it is a good tip. So to sort of expound on this, so what Michelle is talking about is the refillable mugs that you get. If you're on the Disney Dining Plan, they automatically give you a refillable mug at your resort, which can be refilled, and or you can purchase the mug if you would like. But most people, I think, end up with them because they're on the Disney Dining Plan. Those mugs can be refilled at your resort or any resort. They cannot be refilled in the parks. So, and they are refilled usually at quick service locations within the resorts. So Michelle's tip there is that if you eat at a quick service at another resort or your own resort, that you can refill your mug for free. That's just what is included. But if you use a quick service credit, you can also get a bottled drink with your quick service meal. And so that way you're refilling your mug and you're getting your water bottle, which can be used for your trip. And you're really maximizing your credits in that case. So I appreciate that, Michelle. That was a good tip. I do think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wwwprepschool.com/episode76. That is the number 76. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.